Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.
Who disrupts my coronation?
Everyone has been destroyed because of this freak. I won't allow it!
These babies just saved this lame fest party!
Welcome, welcome, welcome to a new episode of This Week in Geek. Birdman thought he was going to be back, but he's still having some trouble at home. Basically, he's had some stuff going on. He'd mentioned before that his wife was in a car crash, and there's basically all the fallout involved there. She's fine, you know, physically, but then, you know, you got to deal with a lot of crap insurance-wise and all that junk. And at the same time, he's been having a bit of a bout, as you've seen on his social media, of... Bit of a down slump, and he just needs to recharge his batteries. So he was back for the E3 discussion we had earlier in the week, and he's going to be back as soon as he feels comfortable, which is perfectly fine. Everybody needs a time to recharge. I mean, he's only really taken, you know, a few shows off really in the last 12-13 years. So, you know, it's time that he takes a break. Same with Mr. Christopher. They just need to recharge their batteries. So I'm here to entertain everybody and keep everything moving forward. So, Birdman, you know, you're welcome, motherfucker. Anyway, I am perfectly happy doing the show. And we're going to see probably some reviews, I think, Birdman says, for next week. He hopes he's back. Next week, I'm going to probably record some of my stuff earlier. I'm not sure if it'll be on the main show because... I am going for some doctor's visits in Guelph, and the following week after that, I'm going to, my roommate's moving out, and actually my father's going to move in to take over his space because he needed to get, an apartment in Kitchener. He lives in Guelph, and he wanted to move here, and this was just the easiest way to get started, so we'll see how that goes. Without further ado, we have a few reviews this week, and... we've got your standard news, your standard everything, except there is no Satan's Pantry again. So we've got another segment of me doing On the Buses, where I tell the story about how I almost killed a kid with my fart. So stay tuned for that. And so without further ado, let's get into the first review and the news.
This is a fair request, and I promise I will not judge any person only as a teenager. And that this is no more right than saying all teenagers are drunken dope addicts or glue sniffers.
All right, citizens, are you ready to save space? Well, we finally have a sequel to Citizens of Earth, and that is Citizens of Space, brought to us by Sega. I have had a chance to review it early before it came out, and I had a pretty good time. It's one of those games. The first one I had played a little bit, and I didn't get into it as much as I was hoping because I just found there was a little too much micromanaging and stuff. It could have used a little more polish. Well, that's what we get with the sequel here. One of the main features of it is that they've reduced the amount of micromanagement that you have to do for all the different characters. So here's some basic info on the game. You have access to up to 40 recruitable citizens. They each have their own role that you can use them within and outside of battle. And everything, they really streamlined it so that you spend a lot less time managing the characters and more time actually leading the citizens. So there's a new battle system. You have to leverage your timing and reflex-based mini games. It's a very interesting update to the way the system was played in the original game, and it's much more welcome to me than what the original game was. So basically, it's not just Earth that's in trouble in this game. You journey from Earth to a variety of different wacky worlds, almost like they feel like Maniac Mansion type worlds, like just that weird sort of quirky 80s, early 90s strangeness that you'd only find in like PC games back then. Now is available today in a fun cartoon drawn style. If you played Citizens of Earth, you know exactly what you're getting here. Only this is a much more polished game, and it's priced at about $15, which is a pretty good deal when you think about it. So I'm of the stance that it's a pretty cool game, and you don't even have to be an RPG fan to play this. It's one of those games that kids can pick up, adults can pick up. It's rated E for everyone, so you don't have to worry about having content that's too much for most kids to handle or anything. And there's like mini games. For instance, when you recruit people, what you do is you go up to them, you say, "I want to recruit you," and they'll go, "Okay, well, could you do this for me?" And it'll be a mini game that you have to complete, and it's kind of fun. It switches up the gameplay style. It evokes a little bit of that that Suikoden series where you were having to recruit 108 different people. It's that idea. You don't have to get everybody, but it makes sense to get everybody. You want to, and you feel that you want to. So I'm not going to go into the story because this is a fairly story-heavy game, but I will say this. The music and everything is good in the game. The audio design is great. The only downside I noticed, and I'm playing it on a fairly advanced system. I'm playing it on the Xbox One on my X. So, this is not a low-end powered system, but I found that there were some pretty long load times. I don't think I would have noticed it had it been a little more seamless, and they might update it with a patch, but basically you'd enter a store and the music would fade out. There'd be like 3 seconds of nothing, and then it would fade in with new music again. And I'm used to more games now doing it where like you enter a building, it doesn't change the music, or the music changes almost instantaneously. It just felt like there was a few second gap while it was loading some of the assets, and it was kind of surprising seeing as it's loading it in completely digital and playing it on an Xbox One X that could easily handle it. Like it could load it in like a second. It could load the entire game if it wanted to into RAM. So that's a little nitpick. It's not really a slight against the game. It's just, it was my personal preference. I would have liked it to have a little more seamless load times. That being said, the load times like for the game aren't really load times. Like there's no loading screens or anything. It's just I can tell when it's loading assets when you enter and exit buildings. Other than that, I'm perfectly fine with it. It's pretty cool. It retails for about 15 American, 20 Canadian. It's available on PS4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and Steam. So you have no excuse not to pick it up if you're a fan of that sort of quirky comedy, like LucasArts Maniac Mansion, almost like Sierra game type style with a bit of an RPG flair. So if that's your bag, check it out. That's from Sega. And if you're on the fence about it, check it out on YouTube.
Need a new weapon in your battle against evil? Check out LibrisArcana.com for Canada's premier RPG dice subscription service for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping. You can get a new complete set of role-playing dice from D4s to D20s delivered straight to your door. Dice themes are new each month and can be anything your mind can imagine and beyond. Visit LibrisArcana.com and subscribe for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping and be prepared to open up new worlds of adventure.
News on the march.
Hey
Okay, it's news time, and what do we have this week? Got a few interesting ones for you. First and foremost, I wasn't sure if this should be a news story or a weird news, but this is going to be a news story, I'm guessing. We have DC Comics used to smuggle crystal meth into Australia. This is brought to us by Bleeding Cool News. And it says here, Australian comic book writer Tom Taylor wrote the successful line of comic books loosely based on DC Comics game Injustice Gods Among Us for many years. So maybe he might feel a small sense of pride at this one. As reported by local news station ABC, now that's ABC in Australia, not ABC in the States, very different company. Police have shut down a drug smuggling operation that used hollowed out comic books to hide bags of crystal meth from the authorities, including copies of Injustice Gods Among Us, he had written. The comic may have been previously best known for featuring the Joker, and they go into a little bit of history here, but the police have raided 9 properties and charged 10 people, saying that the drugs are believed to have been coming from to Australia from Southern California. They seized 3 kilos of crystal meth and believed to have smuggled $700,000 worth of drugs through the mail order of comics. The state that they have been working with authorities to take similar action in the U.S. That's crazy. So basically they would take the comic books and then open them up, dump crystal meth in them, and then tape the comics shut and ship them in a box flattened out, which is kind of crazy. So I guess, you know, somebody might have been wondering why they wanted so many of these comics over there, but that's interesting. Crystal meth comics, sure. Now, moving on to a decidedly less crystal methy story, we have UPS's new trucks look straight out of a Pixar movie. That's from the New York Post, and they really do. The brand new UPS trucks look like something you'd see out of an Apple catalog for, you know, what they would do with an Apple car in the future. It is still the UPS brown. The wheels almost look like 1940s style, and they are super rounded. It's like, it's hard to describe. Completely rounded glass on the front, rounded bumper. It looks like it's molded out of 1 or 2 pieces of plastic. It looks like a plastic car, yet it's not. So it says here, it's no secret that the UPS is keenly interested in upgrading their fleet of trucks to more environmentally friendly models. As a quick example, UPS just a few months ago agreed to purchase 125 Tesla semi-trucks, which is what they are, the Tesla semi-trucks. It says that taking things a step further, the UPS earlier Friday announced plan to deploy a fleet of all-electric delivery trucks with a design that looks to be lifted right out of a Pixar movie. It looks like a toy you might find in a Happy Meal. The delivery trucks themselves will be sourced from Arrival, a British designer and manufacturer of electric vehicles, and will be deployed on a trial basis in London and Paris. All told, UPS plans to use 35 vehicles for testing. As far as performance goes, the electric vehicles boast a range of more than 150 miles, which will include an advanced driver assistance system, according to the press release. So this is one of those things where they're testing it in Europe because it's a smarter choice, because everything's closer together there, and they're going to be slightly smaller vehicles. It's harder to do that in Canada or the States because their delivery routes are a lot larger. So I'm going to assume that if it goes well in England and France, they'll probably roll it out to Germany and Italy to try next, and then out to the North American areas. Which is interesting. It's kind of cool. They look really neat. If you get a chance, type in UPS new truck on Google and take a look at them. So, you know, kind of cool. I do like they're being more environmentally friendly because they're really on the road all day putting things out there. And if it helps, you know, with air quality, even if you don't care about climate change, blah, 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 just air quality, breathing in, you know, less fumes is better for you. So that's pretty cool. Now, the third story was sent over by Birdman. He sent over a story from Superhero Hype saying the Tick creator says that the series has failed to find a new home. So last month, Amazon pulled the plug on its superhero satire series, The Tick, which I didn't care for. I watched the pilot, didn't like it. I was kind of pissed that they didn't go forward with the Jean-Claude Van Damme show, which was a lot better, like subjectively a lot better than The Tick show. And you know, subjectively and objectively, I would say pretty much anybody would have said that show was better. Anyway, the series creator promised to search for a new outlet for the show. Since the series was produced by Sony Pictures TV rather than Amazon, there was still a chance to save it. Unfortunately, it appears that the efforts to save the show have fallen short. The Entertainment Weekly announced that the Tick will not be getting a reprieve from its cancellation. We will look for other opportunities to continue the story with the cast, noted Tim, in the future, but the current series, I'm afraid, must be coming to an end. Please continue to love, choose to love and hope for the series. I don't know. I wasn't a big fan. I know Birdman liked it. It does show that, you know, Amazon, these streaming networks, they're canceling shows left and right faster than you'd expect. Used to be they were the safe haven for content, but now that so many shows and things are being created and clamored for, they're canceling ones that are, they're getting more and more into the way that networks cancel shows, and that if it's not immediately successful, it's gone. And they can tell if it's immediately successful or not based on dropping all the episodes at once. So it's too bad for fans of The Tick. I'm not really bothered by it myself. I hope that Amazon gets more cool new shows. It is too bad that Sony couldn't find a home for it on, like, I don't know, even one of the channels they own. Either on like a cable network or even a satellite, or even, you know, they could have thrown it on the PlayStation like they did with Powers or something. But that's too bad. So that's going to be pretty much it right now for the news. We're going to go away and come back with a review, and then we'll be back with the weird news right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Basically, he's a geek, sir.
Leave me alone, geek boy.
Holy shit, you geeks are badass.
If you know me well, you know that I am not the best at Twitch gaming or like bullet hell shooters, that sort of game. Those genres, anything that requires my brain to work faster than my hands. No, that's not me really. But I do love them. I love dying in them. I love trying them over and over and over again. And that brings me to the new game that I had a chance to review, which is Rolling Gunner. It's brought to us by Mibius and our friends at Mastiff Games. And I had an opportunity to check it out before its release, just shortly after it was announced at E3. And it's for the Nintendo Switch. It's a side-scrolling bullet hell shooter. And normally I would go, oh no, how am I going to review this? I can't complete these games. But I went, you know, I'm intrigued. Let me try it out. So, I downloaded the game, installed it, and started it up, and was pleasantly surprised that there are a ton of configuration options to make it easy for people like myself that can't do it normally. So, like, there's multiple difficulty levels. You can then customize the amount of lives you have. You can customize even the rule set for the game. So, for instance, you can give yourself options to get more bonus hits in, take less hits or less bullets. You know, bullets will do less damage because it's usually a one-hit kill here. Well, sometimes you can pass through some of the bullets depending on the difficulty level you have it set on. You can actually set the courses, like with the different ships you have. You can individually set the difficulties for them. So I played it on super duper easy to see the whole game. And yes, I died still a whole bunch of times because I'm terrible. But I enjoyed it. It has a really good soundtrack. And as far as the visuals go, it's one of the better bullet hell shooters I've seen. A lot of times they rely on just having lower graphics because they have to have so many things on the screen at once. But I never encountered really any slowdown with it at all. And I was playing it, to note, mostly in the docked position with the Switch and my Pro Controller. I did pick it up to play it portable, and it didn't seem to slow down at all. So it obviously scales very well depending on if it's docked or in portable mode. So that's pretty sweet. As far as a pick up and play game goes, you can pick it up and just play a few levels and you know, get your kicks off with it. So it's pretty cool. As far as, you know, key features of the game, here's what it comes with. There's six stages, and then there's, you know, little cutscenes in between of when you beat a level, sort of showing what's happening next. There's three different Stork ships to pilot, each with unique abilities and firing patterns. It's very standard for that sort of style of genre. You got your fast ship, you got your attack ship, and you got your balance ship. I chose the balance one to see where it is. Again, like I said, there's different difficulty levels you can do. You can save your replays. So saving replay means that you can actually rewatch your entire playthrough if you really wanted to, which is kind of neat. There is a really good soundtrack. It's composed by Costio, which composed the Space Invaders Extreme and Groove Coaster. It really is. I had it with headphones on. I had it with my my speakers on. And when I had the speakers on, I had to turn my subwoofer down because it was going boom, 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 boom. But it sounds fantastic. There's cutscenes that, you know, it are pretty good. You know, it's not like full, you know, voice acted cutscenes, but it does show off, you know, more of what's happening in the world, which is neat. There is a risk versus reward point system, which means to get on, like, there's like worldwide leaderboards. To get on them, the harder the difficulty set, the, you know, longer you go without using your bombs and special moves, the higher the bonuses you're going to get are. So, for instance, if you let a lot of bullets go on screen without using your bomb or without activating your special power right away, when you activate it, you'll get significantly, like, exponentially larger points. So that's pretty cool. As far as, you know, any other gameplay mode in that, it's pretty straightforward. It's basically like playing an arcade mode, but there's, again, multiple paths. You can take multiple difficulties. So that's pretty cool. And I'll give you a bit of the background of the game here. There's a bit of a description here. The year is 2061, and nearly three decades have passed since the new metallic element Busterium was discovered by the Lerman Matsunaga Corporation at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. Utilizing this new alloy, Lerman Matsunaga developed a new clean energy engine called the Buster Engine, which was globally adopted and quickly replaces fossil fuel and nuclear-based engines. With nearly all of the world's engines now being centrally powered and controlled by a fully automated computer system called BAC, the unthinkable has happened. BAC has gained intelligence, of course it has, and has turned against humanity. With humanity on the verge of extinction, a secret internal division of Lerman Matsunaga had the foresight to design a special weapon against BAC, the Rolling Gun, operated and controlled by via brain implant. Humanity's fate now rests in the hands of the courageous RF-42R Stork pilot, whom has set out to destroy BAC at the old Lerman Matsunaga building, which has been turned into a near-impenetrable BAC fort. This is the last hope of humankind, and now the final hope takes flight. So I love when they put these little storylines in there, because it's pretty simple. You get in, you start shooting, blow up everything on the screen. It's super fun. It's worth checking out, and it's not going to be something that is, you know, crazily expensive or anything that you have to worry about. It's a title that it's retailing in the U.S. for $19.99, so it's actually a pretty good deal. Canada, it's going to be about $25 to $30, depending on you know, what Nintendo sets the price at, but you know you'll probably initially get it for a little cheaper. So for $20, I'd say it's totally worth it. And I'm not somebody who's good at these bullet hell shooters, but I still had a fun time.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Geico presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter?
I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop day.
We'll be right back.
And it's time for the weird news. So, what do we have this week? Well, there's a couple interesting ones here. Most of these were sent in by Birdman. He collected them because he seems to be able to find some of the weirdest and wackiest stories. And, oh, this is terrifying looking. So, this is from ABCActionNews.com. Deputies arrest strange dancing naked man at McDonald's in Naples. Now, that's not Naples, Italy. That is Naples, Florida, of course. And there is a mugshot of this guy, and he is staring into my soul and saying he wants to kill me or have sex with me. Or kill, maybe have sex, then kill me, or kill me, then have sex with me. One of those, or all of them. It says here, deputies responded to an incident of a male taking his clothes off, dancing strangely in a McDonald's. So, are they more concerned with the dancing strangely than they are with the nakedness? Because it's Florida? I don't know. Witnesses believe the man must have been on drugs. The witness also stated that it looks as though the male was trying to have relations with a railing. Okay. Deputies were dispatched to the McDonald's in Naples, and they recognized the man named John F. Morgan, 63 years old, whom they've had contact with in the past. Yeah, somebody like this, you have contact with them in the past. The police know that person by that point. Morgan was already trespassed from that location before. Has already trespassed on that location before, sorry. He was placed under arrest and charged with trespass on property other than structure, whatever that means. And, you know, I don't know. Is he ever going to get back with his railing? Is this just par for the course and anything in Florida? Like, what is it with Florida? So, I don't know. I mean, have you ever wanted to dance naked in a McDonald's? I mean, like, is the food that good or that bad? Or, I don't know. I can see myself doing that at, like, Fast Eddie's here because I love that place. But I can't see myself doing that with a McDonald's. But, I mean, I guess to each their own. Please stop staring at me, crazy man. I can't look at that picture anymore. So, we have another Florida man. This is from clickorlando.com. Florida man steals pool floats for sex, and I'm going to say this in quotes, instead of raping women, police say. He was stopped carrying a white garbage bag filled with pool toys. Oh, that's another terrifying picture. Oh, good God. Okay. Yeah, that's not right. A Florida man has been arrested and charged after the Palm Bay Police Department said he stole police floats for sex instead of raping women. They stopped Christopher, whatever his name is, I can't really pronounce the last name. He's 35, on his bike around 1:25 a.m. As a suspicious person. Ugh. According to officials, in the past 7 months, the city of Palm Bay has been plagued with burglaries in which the suspect cuts the screen and enters the victim's back pool area, stealing only pool floats. There have been 13 reports made at this time. The victims stated that they had been robbed several times by him, but only reported the burglary after the second or third time it happened. He spoke with authorities and said he went into the backyard pool area because he was able to see the floats from the road. He added that he had stolen several pool floats from multiple locations and would occasionally have to cut the screen to get inside. He drove officers to a vacant house where he keeps his pool floats. Officials say there were approximately 75 floats inside, including ones the victims had described. He told authorities that he sexually gratifies himself with the pool floats instead of raping women. That's your choices? Rape or pool sex? Like, what? I mean, I guess do what you want to do with your toys, but that's your excuse? That's like one of the worst excuses I've ever heard in my life. The victim in this case chose to pursue charges and stated that she had believed the burglary victim on two other occasions. She told officials that her screen was cut in order to open the lock she had secured the night before. He is charged with occupying residential burglary, petite theft, that's weird, and criminal mischief. His bond set at $500. You know, for $500, he could have bought all the pool floats he wanted to and just had sex with them. Or, you know, I don't know, get a blow-up doll, but apparently he doesn't want that. He wants, like, pink flamingo blow-up things. So, sure, he looks terrifying, though. Absolutely terrifying in that picture. That, like, if you're going to have a mugshot, that's the mugshot you want. Anyway, moving along, I think we're finally leaving Florida, and we're going to Canada for CTV News. So CTV News says, electric shock wristband claims to zap bad habits away. Okay. Most fitness trackers sit politely on your wrist, but Pavlok doesn't play nice. You might call it Fitbit's evil twin brother or bad cop to Apple Watch's good cop. The wearable technology watch provides a small electric shock that its creators say can help curb smoking, eating donuts, and watching too much TV. Earn rewards when you succeed, pay the price when you fail, said a promo video on the device. There's a real power to using a little bit of pain to help you break your habits, the creator said on ABC's Good Morning America when the wristband was first released in 2014. It was on Shark Tank in 2016, but they declined the offer. The second edition bracelet was released in 2017 and is regularly priced at $300. They're on sale for Amazon for less. Users can zap themselves with the wristband or grant a friend access through a smartphone app to administer the shock. This is going to be used for sex. I can already tell. It's like the... Oh, my God. The zap strength is no more than 450 volts, according to the product's website, so it's not enough to harm the user. The shock, at worst, feels like a type of static shock that comes from rubbing your socks on the carpet and touching a doorknob. That still sucks. I don't want that. Still, according to some videos on social media, the shock can be pretty alarming. I gotta check out some of these videos. A slew of testimonials claim that the bracelet has been effective, and I'm gonna skip some of the other testimonials because they're not really relevant here. And then let me see here. Anything else? A writer for the New York Times health blog posted a positive experience with the device in 2016, but it doesn't work for everyone. Basically, yeah, it's a dog shock collar, which I thought were illegal now, but for humans. Which, I mean, sure, it's going to be used for sex somehow. It's going to, like, somebody's going to wrap that around their junk and then zap themselves. And, I mean, I kind of want to see, like, the boys from Jackass go at it. You, like, I don't know, chain up, like, 30 of these things on somebody's body and have them all activate them at different random times so you're shocking your whole body. Oh, that would be pretty funny. Don't try that at home unless you're the Jackass people. So that's going to do it for the weird news this week, and we're going to go into the next segment, which is going to be on the buses and probably another review, and then we're going to go home for the day. It's time for another episode of On the Buses. For this edition of On the Buses, I'm going to finally tell the story about how I almost killed a kid on the bus with my farts. So, I was not feeling so good one day coming home from work, and it was raining out, and I just had a bad stomach ache. And I'm standing on the bus, and there's nowhere to sit, and this lady gets on with her kid, who's like maybe 3 feet tall, if that, like a basically like 4 years old, something like that, 3 or 4. And he's standing behind me, and I feel like, oh man, I gotta poop. I'm gonna have diarrhea or something. So we hit a bump, and I fall forward, hit my stomach on the front guardrail where I'm standing. I'm standing near the door at the back of the bus, and that immediately makes me fart. And to my surprise, it was not a loud fart. It was just all silent. And we're talking, like, but a lot of air. Like, whoosh. Like, a lot of air. Basically, like if you, like, opening up a helium balloon, just whoosh, all out at once sort of thing. And I went, oh, I'm safe. And then I hear coughing. And I hear, like, panic attack coughing, like, can't breathe coughing. And I look back, and the kid was right behind me. I had farted right into his nose and mouth. And it got gone right up in there, like all up in there, all that fart, all the smell, everything went straight up into him and didn't go to anybody else. Like I funneled it right into his face. And I am trying to hold back the laughter already. And this kid is coughing, panicking. The mom is going, oh my God, honey. And she's pulling out his puffer and she's trying to give him an inhaler and puffer. And I'm already starting, I'm actually laughing at this point. And people are looking, and she's going, she turns to me, and she's so mean. She doesn't know what I did, but she's going, how dare you laugh at my son? He has horrible asthma and all this. And that makes me start crying laughing so hard, because I triggered this kid's panic attack, and his throat closed up because of his asthma, because I farted in his face. And I am literally laughing so hard, and she's calling me, I'm horrible, and she's going to pull out her phone to record me. This is like all this horrible shit. This is years ago, though. And I pull up the bus stop thing. I get off the bus a good three or four stops early and continue to walk because I'm laughing so hard at this kid that I almost killed with my fart. My fart triggered like a horrible, like, throat closing up asthma attack on him, and the mother never knows. He might have said something, I don't know, he's a toddler, but I again could not stop laughing at it, that the power of my farts are so intense that they can almost kill a small child. So that's that fart story. I don't know if I ever saw the kid or the mother again, but if I did, they probably would have been giving me real dirty looks. But yeah, basically the hot foul air that comes out of my backside can almost destroy small children. You know, beware.
Do you have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Hold that thought. It's crapper time.
Super Neptunia RPG is the new mainline game in the Neptunia franchise from Idea Factory. Traditionally known as 3D modern RPGs, this game takes a bit of a different approach in that it becomes a sort of 2.5D platformer crossed over with traditional turn-based RPG. If that sounds weird, it should, because most things in the Idea Factory Neptunia games throw, you know, caution to the wind and really take chances and do weird, wacky things with all of their mainline titles. So, you know, what exactly makes Super Neptunia RPG a little different? Well, the super in the title obviously makes it sort of evoke the Super Nintendo era. But what this is a game where the main characters, I'm not going to go into the crazy, crazy backstory. You can look up, they have a trailer for the Neptunia games that shows off the history of the world and the characters. But here, I'll boil it down to something very simple. Each of the characters in the game are based on real-world, I guess, consoles. So they're basically avatars for the game industry. You know, and even the world is called game industry. So basically what you do is you control, game consoles that vie for and fight for shares and control of the world. Well, this time things are a little different. Basically, you play as Neptune, you know, the protagonist. You wake up in a familiar but slightly different land. Everything has gone 2D, and it's this beautiful hand-drawn, like, late 90s style. So think of, like, what... If you played the PS1 or the Saturn, like, what did you think the PS2 or the Saturn 2 would have been if it had been 2D? So, you know, we're talking 32-bit sprites, but hand-drawn, large characters, great detailed backgrounds, and you get to go through, like, an overworld where you're in a side-scrolling sort of action-y type game, a little like Metroidvania-ish, where you can go through different areas, and when you touch an enemy, then it goes into battle, and it goes into your traditional turn-based, where you're on the right side, and the enemy's on the left side, a la Final Fantasy of the 90s. So, basically, you wake up, and these people have controlled the world. They want to change everything back to the way it was when everything was 2D. They hate the new world, they hate new graphics and everything. They want everything to go back to the way it was, which is kind of funny because it's really a play on the subsect of people that say retro is better in every way. So it's kind of a funny take on this. Like, I like the idea of them going and pointing fingers and making fun of themselves, because when I reviewed the shooter title that came out with Neptunia Shooter, it was just a little quick throwback to the 8-bit era of like Galaga type games and like Raiden and Gradius, stuff like that. So this is a throwback to the, like, Saturn PS1 era of 2D graphics. You know, obviously much more beautiful because it's playing, you know, 720p and 1080p, and it's all hand-drawn and high-res. But it's that gameplay. I really enjoy it. Like, they describe it as an RPG side-scroller, which is probably a good description for it. There's four party members you can get. You have to save the world. It's basically the same stuff that the same kind of story that you experience in most of these Neptunia games, but I love that it's not just using the same engine or a build upon the previous engines like they've done, or a lot of re-releases they've done of, like, here's the same game but with a strategy element, here's the same game but with a VR element. This is a from ground up new design, which is pretty cool. The interesting part about it is it's actually developed by a different studio than the regular Idea Factory ilk. It's developed by Artisan Studios in Canada, so it's a local game, yay! Which is interesting. I like the idea of them not outsourcing, but like going, hey, we have this great world and characters. You know, here's small studio. Show us what you can do in this type of genre. So it gives a variety, which is something that I think that they were really needing with these Neptunia games. So I'm pretty happy with it. The music sounds great. Again, the art style is amazing. I hope they do more in the style, or even just get different games from the studio to do games for them. I'm going to recommend it. I've had the ability to play it on the PS4, and it's also available on the Switch, so it doesn't really matter you know, which system you play it on. It's going to look great. Play it on the PS4, you're going to get to play it in 4K, so it just depends on what you want. I do think it works really well on the go too, so you know, that's not going to be, you know, a big issue. And if you're not a fan of like English voiceovers, there is the option to switch it to the original Japanese, and you can actually, you know, switch the text dialogue into French if you want to read it in French, which is cool. Other than that, it's, you know, nothing much more I can say except give it a watch on YouTube. I think this is probably one of the most inventive games that Idea Factory's put out. So it's going to be a must-buy if you're an RPG fan in general. And it's something that, even if you're not, you might want to check out.
Those magnificent bastards!
Color me kooky, but something very odd is going on around here.
You're not allowed to talk anymore.
And that is just about it for This Week in Geek. And what do we have coming up? Well, on later on this week, I believe we're going to have another Turd or Treasure episode out, which will have reviews of Hotel Mumbai and The Kid Blu-rays from VVS Films. Also, The Believers from Olive Films on Blu-ray, and Drop Dead Diva. So it's going to be an all-movie and television edition of Turd or Treasure, with a little segment maybe in there or something. A couple reviews I'm working on currently are Judgment from Sega, and that's going to be, believe this coming week I'll have it out. It just depends on how fast I can beat the game, because it's a fairly involved detective action RPG craziness. I also have Bloodstained Ritual of the Night to review, which just came out as of the recording I'm doing right now. I've got my review copy, and so we'll be digging into that. Obviously, more stuff coming in the mail that we're not quite sure yet. I know Birdman said he's working on a few titles, so I think he's working on some RPG reviews and a couple things, so it all depends on what he gets out. And this coming Saturday, I will be recording a show with the Terrible Warriors, the Cambridge Chronicles, and we're going to be doing it over, I believe, Discord and Twitch. So we're going to be trying something new, and we'll see how that goes. We're going to be rolling up our characters for the next game. So check out Terrible Warriors and Cambridge Chronicles, Dice Chronicles on Twitter for more information. So we will basically on all platforms, we'll be, you know, talking about that, tweeting it out. Check us out on Facebook. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes as we move into, I guess, a new realm for us, which will be some video streaming. And I'm going to take part in that and roll up a character. I'm going to do it basically from scratch and see where it goes. It'll be pretty fun. And the plan is, I believe, to do it by, you know, bi-weekly, basically a couple times a month, record an hour on Saturday nights. And, you know, you can come check us out, watch us live, and it'll be pretty fun. It'll be something to, you know, get back into the groove of playing RPG games again. So I'm looking forward to it. So it's going to be a hectic next week or two as things go on behind the scenes here, you know, home stuff as well as stuff for the show and for Cambridge Chronicles and the Terrible Warriors. So it's going to be very interesting. So until then, I'm going to say, what is it? Live free or die hard, Mike says, or or some other crap. All right, talk to everybody later.
Okay, son, now you're starting to scare the viewers.
Just act normal.
I'd ask you to do the same, but I'm afraid that ship has sailed.
Why are there so many ostriches?
But you have a game that is dipped into the
ropey, thick, window cocking.
So guys, we'll be right back right here on This Week in Geek, only on thisweekingeek.net and many other sites where I syndicate this crap, because I'm a media slut.
I like turtles.
Loose like your mom.
That's right.
No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to?
Me lucky tater tots.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at This Week in Geek. And check out our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. And if you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time. And remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
You said that you will deal with our country's immigrants and enemies by personally f***ing them all to death. How do you plan to actually achieve that?
Well, Matt, I don't think I said I would f*** them all to death.
Okay, well, let's roll the tape on that.
Oh, sure, okay.
Well, there's only one immigration policy that I believe in, and that's f*** them all to death.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.
The internet can be your window to the world. Or an open door that lets cyber criminals in. Online theft, webcam spying, and identity fraud are all on the rise. But you can stay safe with Kaspersky Lab, the world's most awarded internet security. Kaspersky protects your money, privacy, identity, and data with technology perfected over 20 years. So keep exploring. Kaspersky Lab will keep you safe online. Learn more at Kaspersky.com.